You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a special mini-cast episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Wednesday evening, the Rockets are finally within 24 hours of returning to the hardwood. They'll do so late Thursday night in LA, Staples Center against LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. A big showdown for the Rockets, 33-24, the number 5 seed in the West against the Lakers squad that at 28-29 is actually somehow with LeBron on the outside of the playoff picture at the moment. So with the Rockets trying to climb up the standings and leading off a 2-game road trip in which you know that the second game is going to be very difficult in Oracle Arena at Golden State, two-time defending champs who, by the way, are 0-2 against the Rockets this year, so you know they'll be motivated. The Rockets, they want to get a win on the front end, and the Lakers, being below 500 at this juncture, every win is a big deal for those guys. And unfortunately, it's a bit of drawing the short straw for the Rockets, I would say, to get a rested LeBron James after largely a week-plus off, although he did play a lot in the All-Star game, as he should, considering one of the teams was Team LeBron. Anyway, I was planning on waiting until Thursday morning for our next episode because my guess is that that's when we'll learn the two contracts the Rockets signed, presumably 10 days, but it could conceivably be Daniel House Jr. or someone else coming down the pike for a fully guaranteed deal that we aren't aware of yet. You never know. And any time that you know there's going to be a transaction, there's a bit of leverage exerted as far as the House situation. But I would say the House money, pardon the pun, at this point is on the two 10-day contracts and basically letting the Rockets, as we explained in Tuesday's show, punt it back to the March 1st buyout deadline so that before they give out any guaranteed contracts, they have a full understanding of who is and isn't on the market. So my guess is that they're ultimately looking for a couple of 10 days. I was hoping to wait for this show until we knew who those were, especially because late Thursday night we'll also have, or perhaps early Friday morning, but either way, we'll have content after the Rockets-Lakers game breaking all of that down. But as far as the timing, the reason we're not waiting until we know who the 10-day signings are to break them down is because there's been some injury news over the past day, both good and bad. The good being Clint Capela, the bad being Iman Shumpert, who is now expected to miss at least this 2-game road trip, and that's a big loss. We'll talk about that in the second segment of our 2-part mini-cast. Not calling it a full podcast, because we'll cap this at about 15 minutes or so. We won't do our normal 25 to 30-minute 3-part show. We'll just have two. We'll start with the good, which is Clint Capela, and then we'll morph into the not-so-good, which is Iman Shumpert. As far as the positive news, that's Clint Capela as expected. He was a participant in practice yesterday for the Rockets in Los Angeles, and because there were no setbacks, he's officially listed as probable on the injury report, and unless he just wakes up feeling awkward or takes a spill unexpectedly, I think it's pretty safe to say that he is going to go. And as far as expectations, I'm optimistic on this one because it's the one type of injury to where you're not trying to scale yourself back up. With Chris Paul in the hamstring, even though he was cleared, the nature of the injury was such that it takes him 5 to 10 days, or 5 to 10 games, I should say, to truly build up his stamina, his conditioning, to feel comfortable cutting it loose. With the nature of what happened to Clint Capela with his thumb, the toughest thing for a basketball player, and especially a big in the case of Clint Capela, is the stamina, the endurance, the cardio work that it takes to be in that level of fitness and shape. And that didn't go away. He was able to do work on the treadmill, on the side, even while he was letting that thumb heal after having surgery. So as far as the most complex elements of basketball for a big, it's not like a knee injury. It's not like a hamstring. It shouldn't really have a lag effect the way a more concerning injury like, say, Chris Paul's hamstring or Eric Gordon's knee, because we've seen him limping around and grimacing a bit since coming back. I don't know that this is the same type of thing, and since he had the thumb surgically repaired, I don't think there should be any lingering concerns about the same injury being there. No, the ligament has been fixed, and he went to one of the best hand doctors in the country. So largely he should be himself again. That doesn't guarantee that things are going to be perfect from the start, but I think largely the issues with Clint are going to be more on the rust side, because playing the pick-and-roll game with James Harden and Chris Paul, timing is at a premium. When you go from playing basically every game to taking over a month off, then certainly there could be a feeling out process to it. And we have to wait and see how he gets his synergies with Chris Paul as well. Keep in mind that Chris Paul had not come back by the time that Clint went out. So those two actually have not played that much together all year long. So I think as far as the timing, also I would say touch around the bucket, as far as his evolving post-game, not that you would dump it down to him in the low block, but he's more capable of that jump hook when he gets it around the rim, the putbacks than he has in the past. There might be a little bit of rust. The timing might not be all the way there in game one, but realistically, I think that's about the only thing. And as far as the minutes, the only limitation of minutes other than foul trouble would be cardio stamina reasons, and I don't see any reason to believe that his stamina would be negatively impacted by this extended layoff. So personally, I'm pretty bullish on Clint. Now, the one area of caution that I would throw out is the free throw shooting. From November 1st until he went out on January 13th, Capella shot better than 65% from the line. That is a phenomenal improvement relative to his career averages, a guy who's hovered around the 50% mark for the majority of his career. That's the one thing, as far as that thumb, and I believe it's on his shooting hand, to where, because as a big, it's not like most of his shots around the rim take that much power. When he went out, I made the analogy to a baseball player, which clearly a thumb injury for those, that can be pretty scary when they undergo that type of surgery to a thumb ligament, because even when they come back, sometimes it kind of zaps their power. There's, because of the nature of swinging a baseball bat and making contact, you're putting a ton of physical pressure and strain right on that area. For a big man who predominantly dunks the ball and shoots within 5 feet of the bucket, it's not really that stressful. And even if it's not painful, just having to depend on that particular thumb, that portion of your hand, as far as any precision, it's not really that big of a deal. So I'm not that worried about him. It'd be worse if he were a guard, because if you're shooting threes, the level of control with your hands that you need to have if you're, say, Chris Paul, James Harden out in the perimeter, and of course handling the ball as well, yeah, that can be exquisite. For the Clint Capella game, which is largely power-based, and of course he can use both hands, as he often does, to dunk the ball, I'm not really that worried about Capella's thumb other than just building back strength and knocking the rust off, which I think is less related to the injury, more just the time off. As far as the acute injury, if there's any soreness, if there's anything that I think might have him out of rhythm beyond just rust from not playing 4 or 5 weeks, it's the free throws, because 15 feet away from the bucket, that's the one area of his game where he does use his hands for control a little bit more. And he had really been in a groove prior to that injury, and for the first time in his career, which is now in his fifth season, this is the first time other than at the G League level, which effectively doesn't count, we're talking about the pressure of NBA games, that he had had success at the free throw line. So that, to me, is the one thing that I'm worried about. I'm not going to say that there's no soreness, but again, the soreness, it's to be expected when you've had surgery, you've rehabbed it. It's not as strong as it would be as if it never happened, but ultimately the injury has been repaired. He's going to be fine. Just going to be a little bit of rust, a little bit of soreness, nothing to really worry about. I think he should be good, assuming no foul trouble, for 30-plus minutes, and he'll be just fine. The only thing that I'm watching are the free throws, because he made a bunch of progress there, and it's not just for Clint individually. Of course, he's got the contract incentives, yada, yada. But more than that, it's the fact that it was easier for the Rockets to play him down the stretch of close games, because you didn't have to fear the way you did this time a year ago. Might the opponent go to hack a Capella to stop your league-leading offense in terms of efficiency? That is not even close to consideration with Capella shooting 65% plus from the line, which he has since November 1st. So I'm largely optimistic about Clint Capella. The Rockets played it right. They got him the extra week off with the All-Star break. It's been 5.5 weeks since the initial injury on Sunday, I believe, January 13th in Orlando. So he should be fine. And unlike, say, a knee, a hamstring, something like that, where you think there's a slow build-up to where the first 2 or 3 weeks he won't be himself, no, honestly, I think Clint's going to be ready to go. He looks healthy. He went through practice. And unless there's something unexpected, then I think it's all systems go for a guy who, overall, I would say is your second most important player. I don't know if he's your second best, because Chris Paul, if he's able to turn it up hopefully he can back to the hashtag playoff CP3 form. But in terms of importance, when you factor in the Rockets' struggles on the defensive end of the floor and rebounding, it's pretty clear they do not have a substitute for what Clint Capela gives them, especially when you consider both ends of the court. Kenneth Reed might can do some of the same things offensively, but defensively, length, rebounding, not so much. So very welcome sign to have Clint Capela back. He went through practice. He's listed as probable on the injury report, as is Austin Rivers, by the way. Missed the last game before the All-Star break with a sore elbow. He is probable just like Capela, and that's the good, is that those two should be ready to go. The Rockets played it well, getting them an extra week off with the All-Star break, and they should be all systems go for these important games, starting with the Lakers and the Warriors on Thursday and Saturday nights. The one guy who unfortunately is not ready to go, well, that's Iman Shumpert. More on that on the other side. Now, we went over the first 10 minutes or so of the show discussing Clint Capela and the upside, the good news of the Rockets injury report, the pre-All-Star game injury report that is, or post-All-Star game, pre-first game after the break report that the Rockets list Clint Capela and Austin Rivers as probable. They should be good to go. And in the case of Clint Capela, your big man who's been a double-double machine all year long, your best rebounder, your best shot blocker, yeah, your big man, to have him back in the middle for a team that has struggled, especially in his absence, with defense and rebounding, it will be a welcome sight. Also, his ability to get putbacks, easy buckets around the rim, I think that will be a way to prevent some of the lulls that we have seen at times on the offensive end of the floor if James Harden isn't in God mode at all times. That's the good. The bad on Wednesday, and the reason that I'm doing the show today rather than waiting until the Rockets make their contract moves official in the morning, that's the unexpected out on the injury report to Iman Shumpert. And just as it seems like the Rockets are finally back to full strength in this season where injuries have derailed them for so many extended stretches, it seems only fitting that in a very difficult week against the Lakers and the Warriors, that just as they get Capela back, I'm not going to say Shumpert is as important as Capela because he's not, but it's definitely a loss. You brought him in here because he was a top-notch perimeter defender. First couple of games, I remember the Rockets' defensive rating with him playing was 97. When he was out, it was nearly 118. And now you're going up against teams that have the likes of LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. Yeah, that loss will be felt. And all of a sudden, you know, we mentioned the Rockets being nine deep now that everyone's healthy. Well, now all of a sudden, your bench consists of just Austin Rivers, Gerald Green, and Kenneth Faried. And Rivers is coming off of an elbow injury and has not shot the ball well from three in recent weeks, and Faried is a five only, and of course it remains to be seen how he fares, especially against some of the bigger fives, the more active types that we know are out there, especially the Lakers, but to some degree with the Warriors as well, and the way the Warriors can pick apart anyone who's a liability on the defensive end, which Faried can be. So for Rockets team that's lacking a bit in terms of depth at the end of their bench, we say they're nine deep, but of course, the 10-11 spots, that's why we've been talking about these empty roster spots, because be it buyouts, Daniel House Jr., whoever you bring in, that's what you're trying to fortify. They only have 12 guys under contract as we are recording this podcast, and you know, a couple of them are developmental-type players, so you need more depth. And to lose Shumpert, yeah, there's a reason why the Rockets were willing to give up their 2019 first-round pick to bring him in, and it's not just about the fact that they were able to save taxes, despite what Twitter would tell you. No, it's about the fact that they really believe in him as a 3-and-D wing. He's someone that they have been after in the past. They almost picked him over P.J. Tucker way back in July 2017. They have targeted him for a while, and by trading for him, they don't not only get him for this year, but they have his bird rights this summer. So they have an avenue to retain him. So they really like him, and then going up against two upper echelon teams, yeah, it's a little concerning that he's out. And unlike Capela, because the nature of the injury, the thumb not being something that will typically linger, assuming you get it cleaned up, which he did surgically, a knee issue, my guess is that the Rockets were aware of whatever was going on after the Minnesota game right before the All-Star break, and they planned on giving him a week off and seeing how he felt. And ultimately, my guess is that it didn't heal to the extent that he or they were hoping. I don't think it's anything that acutely happened in practice. If it were, I think you'd have a more clear diagnosis than sore. You would have a sprain, something of that nature. Sore knee makes it sound like it's something that they've been trying to manage for a while, and my guess is that they thought the All-Star break would clean it up, and it didn't. But the problem, what makes me worry about it, it's not like they're saying, oh, he's expected back after these two games. No, it's just the issuing of the injury report. We don't know more about it until we hear from Mike D'Antoni, and that won't be me. That'll be the guys who are traveling with the team, Jonathan Fagan, maybe Tim McMahon of ESPN, and Okelie Eco of The Athletic. They'll be out there in L.A. tomorrow night at Staples Center, and when they get to talk to D'Antoni, that'll probably be the first time that he sheds some light on that issue, because these are two big games for the Rockets. They have a stretch next week, Atlanta, I believe Charlotte, Miami. That's manageable without Iman Shumpert. These two games, I'm not going to say they're not manageable, but you have James Harden, the MVP of the league. You always have a chance, but to go up against teams with dynamic perimeter creators, and you know, I mentioned LeBron, Curry, Durant, we can throw Kyle Kuzma in there, Brandon Ingram, all the young talent that the Lakers, at least on the offensive end of the floor, are giving the Rockets some problems. I know the Rockets have beaten them all three times to this point in the year, but yeah, these are some of the tougher games, especially on the road, on the Rockets' schedule. And for a team that's talking about 17-8 over the final 25 to get them to 50 wins, that being kind of the baseline, they're talking about that they think they can do that easily, according to Eric Gordon, to do much better than that. These are two games you don't want to start 0-2 and then make yourself have to go 17-6 or better to really make a run at, hopefully, at a bare minimum, a top four seed, but ideally a top three seed, home court on the opposite side of the bracket from the Golden State Warriors. So I don't think the Rockets are being super cautious here. If there was a way that Shumpert, especially because he typically only plays 20, 25 minutes a game, if there were a way that he could go, given the stakes of these games, I think they'd put him out there. So I would not assume at this point that it's just going to be a two-game absence, then the Rockets are home Monday for Atlanta, and all of a sudden he's going to be back. I hope it's that simple, and maybe some of it is just buying time to see how the knee responds. But my guess is that they were hoping that it would be more healed up after the All-Star break than at this point it is, and there's not a clear timetable. So it's definitely a loss. I think given the stakes, how much they want to win, they'd have him out there if he could. And I do think that that plays a bit of a role into the situation with the 10-day contracts. Because as mentioned, the 10-day contract, assuming they go that route, basically what it is, it's to buy time. It's to get them until the March 1st deadline for buyouts to be playoff eligible so that, be it Daniel House from within, be it a buyout from somewhere else, the Rockets have full knowledge of the market before they give out any guaranteed roster spots. Well, these 10 days, they're inherently temporary anyway, so you may as well gamble on the side of what can help you now. There's not much point in going the true developmental route for guys who you don't really have a long-term roster spot for anyway. And now that you're losing Iman Shumpert, that pushes you, in my opinion, even more towards the wing market a little bit. Someone who can play now, and I mentioned the other night, Nick Young, Corey Brewer as veteran possibilities. Now, Brewer, it appears, is going back to the Kings for a second 10-day contract. Nick Young is still out there. But I would say that that's the template. Maybe you go for someone that's a little more defensive-oriented than Nick Young, who might be a little bit too close stylistically to Gerald Green. Although, of course, there's familiarity between Nick Young and Mike D'Antoni, so maybe that overrides it. I don't know. But the point is, whether it's him or someone different, I think you probably need to look for someone that can play now, because as far as guys that they truly trust, I'm not including Gary Clark and Isaiah Hartenstein, because I think it's pretty clear that in an ideal world, they see them as prospects rather than contributors to a team that's making a playoff run this year. They want that ninth spot to be more veteran-laden, and I just don't think a bench with Austin Rivers, especially not having shot the three well in recent weeks, Gerald Green and Kenneth Faried, I don't know that that's going to cut it. That's pretty thin, and of course the Rockets, they want to manage minutes for their regulars, Clint Capella. We have to see exactly what shape he is in coming off the thumb surgery. So there's a big issue, and to me, it puts an emphasis even more on going out and getting someone who can contribute now. I don't know that whoever you sign is anything more than a temporary Band-Aid. Again, you're buying time, first to get to March 1st, and now I think to get Iman Shumpert healthy as well, but ultimately, I think that this pushes the Rockets at least for one of those two spots. Now, who knows? Maybe the second one you can get someone that's a bit more of a prospect to get them in your gym and evaluate. But I think at least one of those, if not both now, clearly needs to go to someone that can play now. Ideally, they would be a wing, I think. But, you know, if they were a four, you won't complain because Austin Rivers, Gerald Green, they're hybrid guard types. So in Mike D'Antoni's system, it's not like you have to be married to any specific position configuration. They're pretty flexible. But I think in a perfect world, it'd be a wing. but it was Shumpert out. But regardless, I think the bottom line is, I know it's awkward with it being a 10-day situation, but there's lots of qualified players going for 10 days. You know, Jody Meeks went to Toronto the other day. That's a guy who's been a quality, capable rotation player in the NBA in the past. So I think the Rockets can get a contributor. As I'm recording this Wednesday night, I don't know who that is yet. But I think with Shumpert's injury, because there's no guarantee that he's going to be back even after these two games, first, there's the importance of getting through these two games to potentially good teams, certainly the Warriors. The Lakers can be, when healthy, when they've got LeBron, which they will, and on the road. These are two tough games, not having Shumpert. You need more depth. And then beyond that, at this point, I'm not going to treat it as a given that Shumpert is back on Monday. I don't think it's any long absence. I don't think it's anything to think that, oh, he's going to miss several weeks, because ultimately I think they would have updated us before today if there were any sort of concerns and perhaps been a little more aggressive over the past week. I think it's probably just something nagging that hasn't responded as they had hoped. But as far as the 10 days go, now you have even more of an incentive to go the veteran route. First, you were trying to buy time until March 1st and the true buyout deadline, and now I think you're trying to kind of patch a hole without Iman Shumpert that, again, there's a reason you brought him in. The threes, the defense. Now, I know he hasn't shot the threes as well since coming to Houston, but it's an absurdly small sample of three games. He's going to be fine, assuming he's healthy. But now, yeah, that's a big role that is out. It's not as important as Clint Capela, but it's significant. So you need to fill that, and you also need to buy time until March 1st. So my guess, unless there's something that really breaks free on the Daniel House Jr. front, I think that'd be everyone's favorite scenario, but I'm going to treat that as unlikely until it actually gets to the finish line. As far as what I think is the house leader at this point in the odds, look for someone who can potentially fill for the next couple of games and maybe even a little bit beyond that the role of a bench 3-and-D type like what you were getting, or at least one of those two things. Maybe you can't be too choosy with a 10-day contract, but either way, you need someone that can fortify your bench with Iman Shumpert out. It's not anywhere near, say, being without Chris Paul, Clint Capela, or Eric Gordon, absences the Rockets have had of late, but it's not insignificant either. It is a blow, and it's one with the Rockets being poised to make an addition anyway over the next 24 hours. Again, the Rockets required by league rules to be up to 14 players on their roster after going back down to 12 with the wave of activities 2 weeks ago on deadline day, February the 7th. The Iman Shumpert, beyond just the fact that the Rockets contractually have to sign bodies, it makes it a little bit more of a need for the Rockets to go the veteran route and use at least one of those two spots on someone that can contribute now. Anyway, with that, that's where we'll break it on this Wednesday night. A little shorter than usual, but just wanted to hit home the injury themes, both the good with Capela and the bad with Iman Shumpert. We'll see what tomorrow brings, both in terms of who they bring in and, of course, what happens on the basketball floor when the Rockets play the Lakers. LeBron James, Chris Paul, James Harden, Clint Capela. It should be a star-studded night at Staples Center, nationally televised on TNT, so it'll be a lot of fun. And if you want more coverage before our post-game show or our next episode of Locked On Rockets, whenever it is, the best place and avenue to get it, of course, is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. You can also follow the show handle on there at Locked On Rockets, or if you dare, subscribe to the Locked On NBA Net Twitter or Instagram feeds, where you can actually hear our Locked On Lakers colleagues, one of the more popular shows on our network, if you want to hear what those guys are saying about the Rockets. Anyway, for this Wednesday, February 20th, this is where we will break it. As always, thanks so much for tuning in to Locked On Rockets, and please come back soon for more coverage right here at your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.